Welcome to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join me for the next hour as today's performers of medieval, Renaissance, and Baroque music bring to life the music of the distant past. We're devoting this edition of Harmonia to instruments of the plucked variety. Lutes, guitars, harps, and harpsichords will pick and pits us through the hour. Plus, a special tribute from Paul Odette for fellow friend and lute player Pat O'Brien, who passed away in 2014, and a feature release from Armonia Celeste called Lovers Beware.
Libertà, 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 rosa di screzza di tu.
That was Libertà, Ragion mi scriva by Luigi Rossi, performed by Armonia Celeste from their recording of music from 17th century Barberini courts. We'll be hearing more from this CD later in the hour. Pluck. It's one of those words in the English language that can be used to mean a lot of things in a lot of different situations. You can pluck a chicken's feathers or pluck the petals off a flower. You can be plucked from obscurity and thrust into fame. You can go to the salon to have your eyebrows plucked, or you may find a troublesome gray hair on your head and pluck it out yourself. You can pluck up the courage to ask someone out on a date. Hey, you might even have a plucky personality. Of course, you pluck the strings of a guitar, but did you know you could be serenaded by a pluck of Schaumers? Yes, just like you can have a herd of antelope, or a mob of emus, or an army of ants. According to the 15th century Book of St. Albans, you can call a group of loud pre-oboe type instruments a pluck of Schaumers. A pluck of Schaumers with a slide trumpet for good measure. We heard the ensemble Ciaramella performing the medieval motet Doctorum Principem by Johannes Ciaconia. Even though the viola da gamba has frets similar to plucked instruments like lutes and guitars, it is almost always played with a bow, but every now and then it can double as a plucked instrument too. One of the first written indications for bowed instruments to be plucked or played pizzicato is found in Tobias Hume's The First Part of Airs from 1605. In the piece Hark, Hark, Hume instructs the performer to, quote, play nine letters with your finger, that is, to pluck the indicated nine-note phrase with the finger rather than bow with the arm.
Thank you.
an early direction to play pizzicato and pluck the string of a generally bowed instrument with the fingers, we heard Tobias Hume's Hark, Hark from his First Part of Airs. Hume gives a similar pizzicato instruction in his Soldier's Song to, quote, play three letters with your fingers. Here's Jordi Savall and Paul Hillier.
I sing the praise of all that was, the glory of well-gotten scars, the bravery of glittering shields, of lusty hearts and famous fields. For that is music, worthy of and still the soldiers love. Look how he thinks I see the grace of chivalry, the colors are displayed.
We heard Jordi Savall and Paul Hillier in a performance of Tobias Hume's Soldier's Song, a piece from the First Part of Airs, with a brief and early use of pizzicato for the viol. Of course, Hume's plucking directions were just imitating those instruments like lute and guitar that pizzicato all the time. The harpsichord is another plucked instrument, though by mechanical means, with a device attached to the key called a plectrum. This differs from another early keyboard instrument, the clavichord, which is not plucked at all, but rather operated by a hammered tangent. It's a little bit like the action of a modern piano, except that the tangent doesn't rebound from the string on its own, but stays in contact with the string until the player lets off the key. Let's hear a very short Bach minuet, BWV 841. First, we'll hear Christopher Hogwood on the tangent-operated clavichord, and following that, a plectrum-plucked version from harpsichordist Elizabeth Joyer.
Thank you.
We heard two versions of a Bach minuet, one on the tangent-operated clavichord played by Christopher Hogwood, and the other on a plectrum-plucked harpsichord performed by Elizabeth Joyer. You can find hundreds of archived episodes, playlists, and podcasts online at harmoniaearlymusic.org. The historical plucked instrument world lost a seminal figure in their field in 2014. Lutenist Pat O'Brien has been described by friend and fellow lute player Paul Odette as, quote, one of the most influential figures in the early music movement. And when Pat passed away in July of 2014, his New York Times obituary read, quote, Pat O'Brien, beloved papa of the lute world, has died. We invited Paul Odette to remember Pat in a tribute, which he recorded at the studios of Eastman School of Music, where he teaches in Rochester, New York. Here's what he had to say.
Pat O'Brien was one of the most influential figures in the early music movement that many non-lutenists may not have heard of. That is because he was first and foremost a teacher, mentor, and advisor. A dedicated and enthusiastic teacher who taught nearly every major lutenist in the world at some point. Those who did not officially study with him consulted with him frequently. Pat was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1947. He played and taught guitars, lutes, and historical harps in New York for almost 50 years. He played and sang folkloric and popular music as well as jazz and contemporary classical guitar before coming to early music.
In contrast to all the instruction he provided to others, Pat O'Brien came to the lute on his own before early music was systematically taught at music schools. What he had instead was plenty of experience under his belt, fed by his own explorations. When he joined the faculty of Juilliard in 2012, O'Brien had already been teaching Renaissance and Baroque lutes, vihuela, early guitar, theorbo, arch lute, cittern, and early harp for a number of years at institutions including Sarah Lawrence, Manus, NYU, Queens College, Stony Brook U, and SUNY Purchase. Paul Odette has said that O'Brien's death, quote, has left an enormous hole in the historical plucked instrument community, but his legacy will live on for decades to come. Let's hear some of O'Brien's legacy in a performance from one of his former students, Charles Weaver. Thank you. Fancy for Lute by John Dowland, performed by one of Pat O'Brien's former students, Charles Weaver. Here's Paul Odette once again.
Pat once told me that he was compelled to teach lute and guitar technique as a way of ensuring that no one else would have to go through the acute pain and agony he experienced, having had severe tendonitis in both hands. After spending thousands of dollars on medical specialists who, in the early 70s, provided no viable options for curing or preventing his condition, he realized he would have to find solutions on his own. He enrolled in night classes in anatomy and physiology at a local college and soon discovered exactly what movements encouraged in the modern classical guitar pedagogy of the late 60s had led to his tendonitis. With tears rolling down his cheeks from the excruciating pain of the tendonitis, he resolved to dedicate the rest of his life to making sure no one else had to endure such agony. In the process, he developed a comprehensive understanding of how to base playing techniques on the physiology of the human body, solving numerous mysteries in the process. He eventually expanded his research into the causes of and remedies for carpal tunnel syndrome and focal dystonia, the latter of which has had a debilitating effect on many of the world's most prominent plucked instrument players. Under his patient and meticulous guidance, Pat was able to rescue a number of important careers, spending countless hours with each musician until the problems had been solved, often refusing to accept payment. Beyond Pat's unparalleled expertise into so many aspects of the lute's history, repertoire, and playing technique, it was his generosity and humanity that were his most remarkable traits. Nothing he did was ever about Pat. It was always about his friends, his beloved students, the music that he so loved and inhabited. Pat was one of the most influential figures of the 20th century lute revival, but was also one of its most beloved personalities. The world is a much poorer place without Pat, but our lives were so profoundly enriched for having known him.
That was Paul Odette speaking about Pat O'Brien, and we heard one of Pat's former students, Daniel Swinberg, in the background on lute, playing Capsburger's Toccata Arpeggiata. We'll continue with our tribute to Pat O'Brien in the second half of the show. You're listening to Harmonia, a program of early music that comes to you from the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. Partial support for Harmonia comes from Penco Incorporated of Bedford, Indiana. Partial support also comes from Early Music America, fostering the performance, scholarship, and community of early music, on the web at earlymusicamerica.org. I'm Angela Mariani. Welcome back. We're paying tribute to Patrick O'Brien, an early music luminary who passed away in July 2014. Here's Paul Odette again, sharing his memories.
I first met Pat in 1976. As a first-year faculty member at the Eastman School of Music, I was invited to play a New York debut recital at Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center. After the recital, I was led to the greeting room where there was a line of audience members waiting to speak with me. The first person in line was a large bearded man dressed all in black who extended his hand and said, Patrick O'Brien, Secretary of the Lute Society of America. That was one amazing concert you just played. Just incredible. But I don't know how you did it, because your left hand is a mess. Being one who appreciates this kind of directness, and recognizing that I had a lot of technical issues to sort out, I asked him if he had any free time the next day, and we quickly agreed on a breakfast appointment at a diner near Pat's studio. Before the menus arrived, I was learning about abduction and adduction, flexor digitorum superficialis, and distal phalangeal joints. Pat explained why my little finger stuck out straight and was never in position to play the next note, an issue I had raised with numerous guitar teachers whose only answer was, you have to keep your little finger closer to the fingerboard. But my little finger refused to understand that command until Pat explained why my little finger was perpetually out of position. As soon as he explained the problem, I was able to fix it. That discussion began a deep and rewarding friendship which lasted 38 years. Pat was both my closest friend and mentor. His knowledge of physiology and how to base playing techniques on the way the muscles and tendons are designed helped me to understand technique and practicing in an entirely new way, allowing me to significantly improve my playing and deepen my understanding of the lute during the late 70s and early 80s.
Let's hear Paul Odette and Pat O'Brien performing together in a concert at the Boston Early Music Festival in 1989.
Thank you.
we heard 20 lutenists, including Paul Odette and Pat O'Brien, performing three dances written by Robert Johnson for the 1611 production of Ben Jonson's Masque Oberon. They were arranged for this 1989 Boston Early Music Festival performance by the late Pat O'Brien. Paul Odette recently revived this concert program entitled 3, 4, and 20 Lutes at the 2015 Boston Early Music Festival in honor of his friend and colleague Pat O'Brien. Pat O'Brien was a longtime director of the Lute Society of America and the founder and director of the New York Continuo Collective, an organization that offers classes and performing opportunities for anyone interested in learning more about the art of continuo playing, regardless of experience or expertise. Pat O'Brien was also a recording artist, collaborating on several projects with the King's Noise, the Freiburg Baroque Orchestra, and the Harp Consort with Andrew Lawrence King. Luz y Norte was one of the first recordings the Harp Consort undertook after its founding in 1994, and O'Brien was central to the recording, leading a consort of guitars of various sizes and tunings. Here are two tracks from that disc of Spanish and South American dance music.
Thank you.
Pat O'Brien on the Harp Consort's first recording, Luz y Norte. O'Brien can also be heard on the Harp Consort's disc of music by 17th century Irish harper and composer Turlough Carolan. Besides the airs and jigs he composed, O'Carolan also wrote planxties. Carolan may have invented the term planxty to describe a cheerful tune composed in someone's honor, and one can be found on the Harp Consort's recording Carolan's Harp. How appropriate, then, that in honor of Pat O'Brien, we play a planxty from this recording. We heard Planxty Connor from the Harp Consort's recording of Irish music by Turlough Carolan. Let's conclude with more words from lutenist Paul O'Dett, who before O'Brien's death had been co-authoring a method book for 16th century lute with O'Brien. And then finally we'll roll out with a bit more music from that 1989 Boston Early Music Festival concert.
It would be impossible to summarize Pat's encyclopedic knowledge about the lute and its music, and his extraordinarily deep insights about music making in a short discussion such as this. It was not just that he seemed to know everything about every aspect of the instrument and its repertoire, but it was the curiosity that drove him to always search for the reasons behind specific approaches to each style. His passion to explore every detail and the insights that exploration provided were an inspiration to everyone who met him.
If you were a musician in mid-17th century Rome, you probably had it made, especially if you were tight with the Barberini family. The extravagant display of art and music was a major status symbol, and a status that the Barberinis were eager to confirm with their support of all kinds of musicians. The Barberinis were wealthy not only in monetary and social capital, but in religious influence as well. Even the Pope was a Barberini. A recent Centaur Records release called Lovers Beware by the ensemble Armonia Celeste gives us a glimpse into the music associated with the Barberinis in Rome. Here's the opening track. We heard Udite Amanti, the title track of Armonia Celeste's recording, featuring composers related to the Barberini family in Rome during the mid-17th century. We've been hearing from plucked instruments of all varieties this hour on Harmonia, and the harp is an especially significant instrument on Armonia Celeste's recording. Luigi Rossi's wife was a harpist, as was another composer on this disc, Marco Marazzoli. What's more, in the 1630s, the Barberinis had an elaborate harp made for them, complete with the family's coat of arms. Armonia Celeste's harpist Paula Fagerberg plays a copy of that Barberini harp on this recording. The original instrument is kept at the Musical Instrument Museum in Rome. Thank you. Paula Fegerberg played Luigi Rossi's Passacaglia del Signor Luigi on a harp modeled after the famous Barberini harp built around 1630. Let's hear one more track from our featured recording, once again with the entire ensemble. We heard Armonia Celeste perform Rossi's Fan Battaglia. Singers Sarah Griffiths, Rebecca Beasley, and Diana Grabowski are accompanied by the lute and harp playing of Lyle Nordstrom and Paula Fegerberg on this, the ensemble's debut CD. Learn more about recent early music CDs on the Harmonia Early Music podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or at harmoniaearlymusic.org. Harmonia is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. Additional resources come from the William and Gail Cook Music Library at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. We welcome your thoughts about any part of this program or about early music in general. You can leave a comment or question anytime by visiting harmoniaearlymusic.org and clicking on Contact. The writer for this edition of Harmonia is Janelle Davis. Special thanks to Paul Odette for his remembrance of Pat O'Brien and to Nana Stotz, Michael Farrington, and the folks at the Eastman School of Music's Technology and Media Production Department. And thanks to our studio engineer Mike Pashkash and our staff, John Bailey, Elizabeth Clark, and Joe Goetz. Additional technical support comes from KTTZ at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. Our producer is Luann Johnson, and I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.